Father, thank you again for the great love for us. We're grateful, Lord God, that because of Christ, we don't have to go back to where we are right now in Christ. We can walk in Christ. We can live the life of your love and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross on our behalf. And so we say thank you, Lord. We say praise your holy name, Lord. We've done wonderful things, marvelous. Lord, help us to remember them and walk through life. Lord, help us to remember them as we face issues of life. Help us to remember them so that we can praise your name and rejoice in you and be glad in you, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you will help us this morning, Lord, as we walk in your word today. That we will hear from heaven, we will hear from you, Lord. And Lord God, that we will walk in the light of the truth in our lives. Eternal life is more than you. So open our eyes, O God, that we might behold wonderful things from your word. Lord, you are the lifter of our head. Yes, you are the God who encourages us. You are the God who builds us up. You are the God who uses your word to improve, rebuke, and correct us so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, we thank you for the lives that you've given us on this earth. And yet we look forward. Life that we have to look forward to in being with you. So may our eyes be fixed on Jesus and may we grow, oh God, by your grace and your love for us. In the precious name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning again. Philippians chapter 3. To be in prayer for our sister Carla, and her husband's mother-in-law passed. She's 95 years old. She lived a good long life. Pray for comfort and encouragement of the family during this time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 9, Paul writes, let me read 8-10 for context, but we'll be looking particularly at thinking about verses 9 and 10, and press on, Lord, looking at verse 11 later. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them for rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own, derived from law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Steve Whittier wrote, both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. All vultures see is rotting meat because that's what they look for. They thrive. But hummingbirds ignore the smelling flesh and dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it is looking for. And he said, we all do as well. We must ask the question of ourselves, what are we looking for? This year, in particular, what are we looking for in life in general? Are we looking for the life that God has for us? Or are we looking to do life our own way without Jesus Christ? Life without Jesus, the Bible tells us, is a dead life. You may have the thrills of this world. You may enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, as we have said. You may accomplish great things and accomplish the goals that you set out to accomplish. But as far as God is concerned, without Him as Lord over all and Savior of your life, you'll come to a dead end and realize that your life was not what you thought it was. Jesus has promised us new life. He's promised us abundant life. Here and after we leave this earth. To attain this life, we have to want Jesus Christ. And we have to want what He wants for us. And we have to pursue Him. And again, I want to stress the fact that He doesn't force us. He doesn't make us. He doesn't put us in a chokehold. He gives everybody a choice. And I've been thinking over this series of messages that we have about as much of Jesus as we want to have. And He has about as much of us as we allow Him to have. Our objective is to pursue and cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ that is second to none. That He becomes our number one pursuit in life. What attitudes do I need to develop a passion for pursuing Jesus above everything else? Is Jesus Christ your greatest pursuit in life? Well, we said a couple of things quickly here. One, we said we must cultivate the attitude that nothing and no one is more important to me than Jesus Christ. Is that true of your life and my life? There's nothing and no one more important to us than Jesus Christ. Second thing we said is that we must cultivate the attitude that knowing Christ Jesus as Lord far exceeds the pursuit of anything in your life without Him on the journey. Without Jesus, life is not what it could be. It is not what it should be. Thirdly, today, we must cultivate the attitude that I can be right with God only on His terms. Only on His terms, not mine. The only way to be right with God is by what He said in His word, not by what I say. And Paul found this out. He discovered this, and he wrote about it. He said in verse 9, in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, he said, I want to gain Christ. He said, I'm not looking for a righteousness of my own. I want to gain Christ so that I can be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. Paul said, I want to be found in Him. And he says that he's referring to simply, if I can simply say, he's referring to being right before God. simply being right before God. We may say, we may think of being saved, we may think of going to heaven. We can put all of that within that meaning. But Paul said, I want to be found in him. I want to be right before God. Paul wanted to be right with God, and he felt understand that only God himself, only God himself could make him right. Only God could make him right with God. To be right means that we are approved by God. We are approved by God. That if we want to say it this way, that God says, hey, you have what it takes to make it to heaven. We are found to be righteous before God. God sees us as righteous. Being righteous before God is the only means that we can go to heaven, and it's the only means by which we can have a relationship with Him. And Paul said that this comes only one way. He said, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, derived from doing all the things that the law says. And we read before, and talked about before, where Paul said, I did all of that. I kept all of that. My mind was right. He said, I was the perfect Pharisee, if you will. Now, of course, he wasn't perfect. By way of all the do's and don'ts that the law pointed out, Paul said, yes, he understood it from a human perspective. He said, yes, I was walking in that path. But I realized that keeping the law, doing those things, wasn't enough. And he said, for me to be found in Christ, I've come to this conclusion, not a righteousness of my own that I get from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness which comes from God only by faith. The righteousness that comes from God only by faith. Paul said this comes only by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and only He enables us to receive this righteousness that comes from God. He said, again, not having the righteousness of my own. For Paul, as we know, as we discussed, before coming to faith in Christ, his righteousness was derived from the law. And it was his doing, his working, his keeping the law, what he did or what he didn't do from the law that he thought made him right with God. This made him right in his eyes, not in God's eyes. And we ask the question, what makes us right in our eyes? What makes you right before God in your eyes? What do you think is going to get you to heaven? And I ask the question, and ask it above, what is Paul talking about as it applies to us to be found in Him and not having the righteousness of our own? Something that we think makes us earn heaven or get to heaven. Well, some of us think that we are righteous because we compare ourselves with others, and we think we are right with God because we think we are better than others. And we look at the next fellow or lady, and we say, hey, I'm just a little bit better than her. And we think that makes us right. Well, we see that in Luke chapter 10, 18, and I'm going to turn to that, and I'm for us to look at, instead of just looking at a few, Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 10. Verse 9. And he also told this parable, as Jesus, to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and view others with contempt. You see that? Yeah, it's an old story, isn't it? our righteousness before God. It's nothing new under the sun. And then Jesus told the parable and said, two men went up into the temple to pray, and the Pharisees, and one of the Pharisees and the other one the tax collector. The tax collectors were despised by people. You know, the tax collectors come, they take that, take their share off the top, right? They were despised. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Did you see what Luke said? He really wasn't praying to God. He was praying to himself because it was all about him. He was self-centered. But he thought he was praying to God. And he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this old tax collector. Now, let us insert in there ourselves. God, I thank you that I'm not like. Have you done that? He said, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I give. Lord, I do all of these religious things. I'm a pretty good person, God. But then Luke, and then Jesus said, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The tax collector realized that before God, he was a sinner, and he cried out for God's mercy. He said, Lord, the only way that I can be righteous before you is if you do something for me. Not all the things that I do. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went to his house justified. What does justified mean? Justified means to be made right before God. God considers us to be righteous. And Jesus says, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Our righteousness doesn't come from us. Paul had come as a very self-righteous-minded Pharisee. He had come to understand that his righteousness meant nothing before God. Some people think, and some of us may think, that we're righteous because we're better than other people and do good. Some people think that we are righteous because of the good things that we do. But Jesus refuted that too. In Matthew 7, I'm going to turn to that. Matthew 7. Got it?
Amen.
Get a chance to learn the Bible. We're way around the Bible. Matthew 7. And this is our Lord talking to. And he says, not everyone. Let's listen carefully. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You get what Jesus is saying? People are going to be saying, Lord, you know, I'm giving honor to God who's the head of my life. He's Lord of my life. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. And of course, question there, well, what is the will of the Father? Well, because the will of the Father in terms of being righteous before God is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Accepting him and accepting him alone. And and depending on the righteousness that we're talking about, the righteousness that he gives us as opposed to our self-imposed righteousness. And he said in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, on what day? On the day when people stand in judgment before God. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Now, if anybody should be given entrance into the kingdom of heaven, surely it should be those who are doing these things, right? But the word says in verse 23, and Jesus said, showing himself to be the great judge, he says, and then I will declare to them, I never, what? Knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Every time I read that passage and think about it, it causes me to think more and more about the things that I hear and about my own life. And what am I depending on? And what are we depending on to make us righteous before the children of God and gain entrance eternal life in Him? Matthew says lawlessness is just the utter disregard for what God has written in His Word. You know, some people occupy a seat in a church building, but they are not in Christ. Paul said, I want to be found in Him. Some serve in ministry, but they aren't in Christ. Some may even be able to use the name of Jesus to perform great works and do great things and of that nature, but they aren't in Jesus. Because being in Christ means we've come to Him on the basis of our need for the forgiveness of sin, and we have faith that because of His death and resurrection, we are forgiven and we are accepted by Him. That's how we are, that's how we come to be in Christ. And that's how we can be found in Him. And only that way. Only that way. Only that way. Because when we put our faith in Jesus, it is a great picture that the Lord gives us. When we put our faith in Jesus, us to the Father. And he says, here, Father. Here, Father. You know how I feel like after a baby is born, the doctor just takes that baby, puts it in the arm of the mother. It's a picture right here of Christ bringing us to the Father. And the Father accepts us as His children on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood alone. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us that one. Christ also suffered for sins once for all time. The just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. The perfect for the imperfect. So that He might what? Bring us to God. Bring us to God the Father. Put us in the arms of our loving having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. To be in Him means we live in Him. We live in the realm of His righteousness. That righteousness which is imputed to us or given to us. Not something that we earn for ourselves. I want to make sure we're hearing that. Paul said, not a righteousness of my own, but the righteousness that has been given to me by God on the basis of the death of Jesus Christ. live in that righteousness. Our thinking is that we are right with God because of Jesus' atoning work on the cross. And that work brings about a transformation. Is that our thinking? That we're right with Him only on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. You know, I've been to a couple of funerals the last couple of weeks. And before, and you know the thing I hear, you know, coming across that I think as the Church of Jesus Christ, as Paul told Timothy, the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. You know, it's one thing I hear coming across over and over is the good works that people do. You know, and eulogy, the word eulogy is a compound word. It's a good word. It's a good word. It is a good word. I mean, you go to funerals and people say good things about people, right? That's okay. But don't try to put people in heaven on the basis of those works that they do. That's where we're missing the mark. Paul said, not a righteousness of my own, based on the law, based on the good works that I do. We get in heaven on the basis of what Jesus and Jesus alone has done for us.
Amen.
And everybody sitting up in here, you know whether you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, and He is the one you're depending on to get you to heaven. You know whether that is true in your life or not, or whether you're thinking, man, I'm forgiven. I've done all these good works. I know God has done. I'm better than Brother Jones, so that's not a good deal. No. It's not. Not according to the Word of God. According to His Word, on the basis of Christ. We have faith in Jesus. We enter into a way of thinking, my brothers and sisters, and living that is counter-cultural. Right? It's against the way the world thinks. Because the world thinks that, yeah, we're good enough to go to heaven, or you can go to heaven, you can be forgiven through some other religion, just forget about Jesus Christ. You don't need Him, you're still okay. But that's not what the Bible says. No, as true followers of Jesus Christ, our thinking is different. Should be different. And our living should be different. We don't go along with the stream of the culture, of society, of the way they're thinking out there. We think differently on the basis of the Word of God. We live on the earth, as Paul will say later on in this passage, we live on this earth as citizens of heaven. Yeah, we got one foot here, but our heart is in heaven. And we have dual citizenship in the world. But we're always looking forward, as we will say. Now, we're always looking forward. Yeah, we do our due down here on earth, but our minds, our hearts are looking forward to being in the throne. Think as children of God. When we relate to God, we relate to His people of God. Let me move on. Through faith, our lesson, through faith in Jesus alone, we are given a right standing, righteousness before God. That is impossible to have without Him. And in order to go to heaven, you have to be righteous. Nobody can stand in the presence of a holy God without being righteous. Well, where does that righteousness come from? If I got this sin that I'm dealing with in my life, and I see that I'm not perfect, Lord, how can I be righteous? He died, and when He died, when you had faith in Him, and Paul said, He said in the Bible, emphasizes, he says twice, through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. On the basis of faith. That's how we become right with God. And that way alone. And that has to be our thing as children of God. And that's what we pass on to others. Paul realized that all his accomplishments and all his pedigree didn't make any difference to his standing before God. None whatsoever. He was given righteousness. Given the righteousness which comes from God. We are made right with God by him. You got that? I'm made right with God by him. I'm given something that I can't give to myself. I can't get for myself. I can't work it for myself. I am given that righteousness by God. And it's a great gift that he's given us. A gift from God. And I got to cultivate that attitude because I can slip back into thinking I can do something to make God love me more and accept me more, but you can't. And I've said it before, and I know it's kind of hard for us to think of. We think we can work ourselves right with God, and God will love us more because we do A, B, and C. Well, he doesn't. God doesn't love you any more than he loved you yesterday, or 10 years ago, or any more than he will love you. You can do a gazillion things, and God is not going to love you anymore. Because he loves you from the fullest capacity that he is able to love you right now.
Amen.
Where you're sitting. We are totally forgiven. And we don't have to work our way into a relationship with God. I'm so glad of that. We may wrestle within ourselves to feel that we are okay with God. We do good deeds in hopes that these will bring us just a little bit closer to God. But the Bible, my friend, says that through the faith in Jesus, we are given, once again, the righteousness of God. And we are brought to the arms of our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him, Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that, listen, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You talk about being righteous, but it ain't your righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. There's none who is righteous. No, not one. No man who seeks after God. It's all because of Jesus. And we need to keep that in mind. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, forget all of the other ways that people are saying. I think we don't want to do that sometimes. I think we want to be nice. I'm not saying we don't have to be mean-spirited, but we do have to hold on with tenacity the truth of what the Word of God said. We have to get Jesus is all the way. And we cannot be on our heels. And we cannot be wishy-washy about it. We should not. You got to stand with courage, boldness, and confidence. Because if you're seeking to know Jesus and get to where he wants to take you in 2023, then you got to put a stake in the ground. We have to have some convictions. We have to have some confidence in what he said.
Yeah.
I don't care what people say. I don't care what they say about me saying what I'm saying up here today.
Yeah.
That does not matter. Yeah. It does not matter.
Yeah.
What matters is that I and we properly represent the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me run on. Through faith in Jesus, we have the privilege of experiencing a life on this earth. I'm not talking about those who love him, who love him. But we have the privilege through faith. If you have faith in Jesus, then you have the privilege of experiencing a life on this earth that we would never have without him as Savior. In verse 10, now let me tell you what I'm not talking about and what the text is not talking about, because we can take that and we can make it stand on our own. We can make it to mean, well, God gives me everything I want to have. Everything I ask for. He's going to bless me with all of this stuff. Well, that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul said in verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being performed to the death. But what are we talking about? Well, one, through faith in Jesus, we can come to know truly. We can come to truly know him in a personal way. In a personal way. You know, most people know about God. And you know what? They have to know about him. You know why? Because the Bible says that God has put it in people to know about him. They're going to know about him. Romans 1 says that. Although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God, nor give thanks to him. So you can know God and not know God. Most people know about God, but they don't know him in a personal way. Jesus said in John 17:3 that eternal life, he was talking to Father God, and he said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And as I've said before, that know is an experiential know. It's an experiential knowing. It's not just information. See, you can know some things about God, but not know his presence and power in your life. Do you know that? God's presence and his power in your life. You can know about him and not experience his forgiveness and love. How many people say they know God, but yet they still living the same way? When you have faith in Jesus, you come to the know. And he affects your life. To know him, to know Jesus, is to have come to the knowledge of who he is. And I know I sound like a broken record, but so be it. We know that he is very God and very man. And that he came to die on this earth for the sins of mankind. We know who he is. And we're not denying him. We know what he's done. We know that Jesus is the answer. We see, well, what are we talking about? Well, he died on the cross for the sins of the world. Well, what does that have to do with anything that's going on in the world? Well, what's going on in the world, the problem that we're having is because of sin, because people are mean and evil. And Jesus is. Come to know what he's done in our behalf and what he can do in our lives today. And if he has no end, it's to be in a personal relationship. Through faith in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And I say this too, knowing Jesus, yes, it's informative. We have information about him. You need the truth from the word of God, the truth transformed. It affects you today. Paul really talks about that. Yeah, he was looking forward to heaven. He was looking to the upward call of God. But he said, in the meantime, while we're still down here, let us keep living up to the standard that we've been taught, that we know from Christ. So heaven impacts what's happening today. And we should too. We're informed by him, we grow in the knowledge of him through the word, and our life experiences, and truth we have brings about the experience of transformation in our lives. You know, it's a lot happening in the world today. And I believe much of it is because of people like that. You know, I wrote down in my notes for us to read Jeremiah 9 of when you read Jeremiah 9, at least when I did, you think about what's happening in the world. It's taking a little longer, but I'm taking a little longer, can I? Amen. If I don't get through with this today, we'll come back and let Jesus come back first. Jeremiah. In case you ain't been there in a while. Jeremiah chapter 9. Because we're talking about knowing God, knowing Christ. Right? Yeah. Jeremiah 9. And I'll read it kind of quickly here. You can just read it, go back in your own time and contemplate it. And he's talking about Jerusalem, he's writing about Jerusalem. You know, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Let me just read and think about it. I'm trying to think about it by way of application. Now, some of it doesn't all refer to the world today, but by way of application, we can think about it in that way. Can't take everything that God said in the Old Testament and apply it to what's happening today, because some of it doesn't apply to us. Verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them, for all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land. I think we can turn on the TV and get it right here. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil. And listen to this. And they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. Do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Though deceit, through deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Let me interject this, right? Because, you know, sometimes we want to blame God for everything, right? Yeah, why is God letting all this happen? Why isn't God intervening and stopping all this stuff that's going on in the world? Well, why are people turning to the truth and the truth? God says, they doing all this, they don't know me. They don't know me. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and save them. For what else did I do? Because of the daughter of my people. Their tongue is a deadly arrow, it speaks deceit. With his mouth one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? For the mountains I will take up a weeping and wailing for the pastures, the wilderness of dirt, of the wilderness of dirt, because they are laid waste so that no one passes through. And the lowing of cattle is not heard. Both the birds of the sky and the beasts have fled. They are gone, a desolate place. Sounds a little bit like some of our cities, huh? I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without a house. Who is the wise man? That may understand this. And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined, laid waste like a desert, so that no one passes through? Haven't we asked that? Why is it? Why is all this going on? The Lord said, because they have forsaken what? My law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to me, but have walked after the stubbornness of their heart, and after the Baals, all the fake gods, as their fathers taught. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, his people, with wormwood, and give them poison water to drink. Bitterness, just bitterness. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them until I have annihilated them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning of women, that they may come, and send for the wayward women, that they may come. Don't we have a lot of mothers and grandmothers and aunties weeping around our nation and around the world today? Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may shed tears and our eyelids flow with water. For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How are we ruined? We are put to great shame, for we have left the land because they have cast down our dwellings. Now hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wickedly, and everyone her neighbor a dirge. For death has come up through our windows. Gotten high. A lot of people dying. For death has come up through our windows. It has entered our palaces to cut off the children from the streets. The young men from the town squares, is that not applicable to today? Speak. Thus says the Lord, the corpses of men will fall like dung on the open field, and like the sheep after the reaper, but no one will gather them. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Stop going around talking about all that you know. Stop going around talking about you. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. Do you know him? Do we know him? That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness where? On earth. On earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. You seek after God, you seek to know God. You got a person that is living in wickedness and they're turning to God. God says, I'm going to give you my righteousness. Then he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all. Yet uncircumcised. Those who say they know me, but they don't. They don't have a circumcision of the heart. Egypt and Judah and Edom, the sons of Ammon, and Moab, and all those inhabiting the desert who clip their hair not just about those Gentile nations. It's about them. It's about us too, my brothers and sisters. And I'm reminded the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. You know, not judgment for whether we want to go to heaven, but judgment of are we really seeking our God? Are we really seeking to know Him, to love Him, to know His heart, and live out of His righteousness? Are we doing that? Are we seeking to know Him in a personal way? When we got faith in Jesus, we can. When we got faith in Jesus, we can grow and say this. We got to grow through faith in Jesus. We can grow in our knowledge of Him. The Lord doesn't want us to be stagnant. We can't go nowhere in Christ being stagnant in Him. Just can't do it. All of us have friends and family and people in our lives that we knew, but we really didn't know. Time and doing life together, it enables us to grow in knowing who they really are, right? Yeah. Like that with our relationship with Jesus. All through Jesus. But here he still says, I still want to know Him. I want to grow. I want to know more of Him. I don't want to become stagnant. It's easy to become stagnant. It's easy to close your word. And it's easy to get caught up in the things of this life and set Jesus aside. But Paul says, no, I don't want that. I want to keep going. Some know Jesus, but they don't know Him as Lord and Savior. Some know Him as Savior and Lord, but our knowledge of Him is at a very shallow level. If you want the abundant life that God has for you, then we must grow in our knowledge of Him. God isn't going to give us more of the abundant life because He can give us if we don't want more of Him. And we're just trying to pimp God. We're trying to get something from Him without us developing that relationship with Him. That's not the relationship that He's calling us to. Now listen, since I have eternal life, I'm going to make the effort to get to know God on a deeper level. Do you really want to get to know God? You know, we make the efforts to improve our job, right? We want to improve our job. To learn the material in our coursework to go to school, you want to master that work. You want to improve your jump shot. Some people want to master the video game, right? Hours upon hours upon hours. They got to beat it. Well, Jesus is the most important person in our lives, and we will strive to know Him better by getting in His Word, letting His Word get in us. One more thing. Through faith in Jesus, and we'll come back next week. Jesus doesn't come back. Through faith in Jesus, we can experience God's ability to demonstrate His resurrection power in our lives. Paul said, I want to know Him. Yeah, I want to grow and know Him. I want to know Him in a personal way. But I also want to know His resurrection power. Right. What was he talking about? And then he said, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. We want to skip over that one, right? I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Being conformed to His death. So that I may somehow attain to Him. Slow and powerful way. Amen.
All right.
And the Lord will come back next week. Let the Lord work it out of us. We seek this week. Just to seek to get to know Him. Seek to live in His righteousness. If you ain't living in righteousness, then the Lord says, come on up out of it. If you ain't seeking to live according to His word, He says, you need to live according to my word. Not just what you made up in your mind. Made up in your heart and seek me through His Word. You can't know Him apart from His Word. You can't grow in Him apart from His Word. You can grow by pure sitting in Him. Maybe you need to do some business with God. Maybe He's been second on your list of things to pursue this year. Maybe your relationship with Him is not what it could be. It's true of all of us. But maybe Jesus is way down the list, your list of seeking Him. He wants to be first. He won't take second. He is Lord. He is Savior. He's called us to live with Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Father, we're so grateful. So grateful, Lord, that you're a righteous God. Lord, we're grateful that you're the God who shows mercy on those who cry out to you. You never turn your back on us. You never close the door. The curtain has been torn in two. The throne of grace is always open. Father God, we're grateful for that. We pray that you love us just to rest in that. That whatever we're going through, whatever we're dealing with, whatever sin might have a hold on us, Lord, we're grateful for that. You're the great deliverer. You're the God who knows we can't hide anything from you. You've known about it, Lord. And so help us just to live in that personal relationship with you. Just have the confidence that we can come to you knowing that you don't turn up your nose at our sin. Lord, you receive us. Blood of Christ. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, do some restoration in mind and heart. God, help us to find our rest in you. Some are weary. Lord, some are weak and weary from the things in their lives that's going on in the world. Lord, you refresh us. God, you revive us. Lord God, you help us. Lord, help us to know you. As you sought your people, Jeremiah 9, to know you. Help us to boast in the fact that we know you. Lord, forgive us for boasting in us, bragging, talking about us more than we think about you. God, we give you thanks for anything. Help us to be mindful and grateful to you. Lord, I pray for one who may hear your word and not know you. May that person repent, turn, and submit to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from yourself. Turn to you. And say, I've been pursuing everything else. Jesus, you've been second, but Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior. First place in my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, maybe there's some of us, your children. Lord, we've been straddling the fence. We haven't put a stake in the ground. Haven't been walking in the confidence that you've given us the courage, the grace. God, help us. Help us to live as children of God in this world. We thank you, Lord. You do that work of soul care in us. Lord, we bless you today. Lord God, we love you today. Lord God, we thank you today. We give you praise today. Jesus Christ. In his name. Amen. Because of the church attendance. You're not saved just by saying, Lord, you're saved in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Have faith in him. Put your faith in him today. Say, I want to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. You allow the church family to deep in yourself. Worship and service. The church of Jesus Christ. You allow the church family to come. Fellowship in the church family or any place, you know how to stay here. Just come and say, I want to be a part of it.